This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama. Connecticut's Labor Department lacks the staff to deal with a growing backlog of wage theft complaints.
There's less investigators, so there's less investigators able to recoup wages for workers. Now, at the same time, because of this decreasing staff levels, there's also been an increasing backlog of cases.
That's Jose Luis Martinez. He's the Connecticut Mirror's data reporter. He's looked into the state audit that finds complaints of wage theft and other labor violations piling up, while proposals to increase Labor Department staff to deal with the backlog failed to win the approval of lawmakers. More to come after this.
Hi, I'm Bruce Putterman, publisher of the Connecticut Mirror. By participating in the work of CT Mirror, you publish long-form journalism that explains complex policy and fiscal issues. You conduct follow-the-money investigations that explore how taxpayer dollars are spent. And you empower communities and change lives and stabilize our wobbling democracy. If you want to continue to be a part of this Connecticut journalism success story, please make a gift to CT Mirror today. Just click the red donate button on the top right of any CT Mirror page. Thank you.
Hello, Jose. You've followed the wage theft crisis in Connecticut for a while now. Were you surprised by last month's state auditor's report that found complaints over wage theft are piling up while legislative proposals that would have increased Labor Department staff have failed?
Not really. You know, this is one of the many things that hasn't been funded in state government. You know, it's not an issue that's unique to the Labor Department's Wage and Workplace Standards Division. It's an issue that's been seen across a lot of agencies that say they're understaffed. This piece just took a very detailed look at this division in particular.
And you came up with some graphs here. One is a statistical analysis that shows that wages recovered by the Department of Labor are at the lowest they've been since 1984. And the other illustrates that the number of investigators is lower than it was in 2015. Could you just explain what we see in those graphs?
Yeah, so this Wage and Workplace Standards Division, what they do is they investigate complaints of unpaid wages, among other labor violations. But every year they report how many wages they've recovered for workers. And, you know, there is some data available online through administrative reports to the governor that the Labor Department writes. But we wanted to go back in time. We wanted to see, okay, are these levels we're seeing now, which are 2.4 million as of last year, is this the lowest it's been in decades, in a while? You know, is this a high? Is this a low? So we went to the state library. We combed through these administrative reports, and we were able to paint a picture to show that these are the lowest level in wage recoveries that the department has seen in decades. And at the same time, what we've seen in the past decade is that the staff levels at this unit has decreased, particularly the number of wage and hour investigators, which investigate overtime, minimum wage, and also wage enforcement agents, which, you know, have a broader mandate. They investigate things like commissions, bonuses, etc.
Now, you showed that we were recovering about $5 million a year, and it's come down to $2.4 million. What does that mean for the workers who are affected? Because we have a situation here where they haven't been paid their wages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at the same time that, you know, there's less investigators, so there's less investigators able to recoup wages for workers. Now, at the same time, because of this decreasing staff levels, there's also been an increasing backlog of cases. And what this means is cases that haven't been assigned to an investigator yet. So to put things clearly, if a worker were to submit a complaint right now at the Department of Labor regarding unpaid wages, they'd have to wait anywhere from 6 to 8 months, according at least to what investigators testified in this year's legislative session. So, you know, it's taken a while to just even hear back about these cases. So it's not just that the division is recovering less money, but that they're also taking longer to do it. So workers are waiting longer to hear back about their cases.
And some probably will never get those wages back.
Yeah, it depends. You know, there's some cases, you know, investigators have noted where by the time they're able to investigate a complaint, the employer that's accused of not paying wages is already closed, or, you know, they filed bankruptcy, or the worker already moved out of state. So yeah, there's a lot of implications for it taking that long to to recover these wages.
Now, Jose, you spent some time looking at what was being done in the legislature. What happened? I mean, they had proposals on the table. What happened to those proposals to increase the staff?
In 2023 and in this year's legislative session, there were proposals to increase staff at this division, and they both didn't, you know, they didn't pass, mainly this year because they just, they didn't adjust the budget. But last year, yeah, there was a bill that would have increased the number of investigators to 45 from the current, you know, it depends on the definition of how you define wage and hour inspectors, but it could have been anywhere. It would have cost a few millions to fund this. But, you know, what they told me last year, you know, simply put, it's that it's competing interests. There's a lot of things that need funding. But again, you know, the administration wants to keep piling up the rainy fund. So, you know, just didn't pass last year, didn't pass this year. And advocates are hoping to be able to pass the bill again next year.
Well, with this auditor's report, you think that will actually try and put some pressure on lawmakers to get this done next year? Because it seems to be getting worse.
From what I'm hearing, from what the legislators told me, is it's something that they want to focus on and that they're hoping to target next year. And, you know, we reported on this figure, you know, this 800 figure that the auditors came out with. This year we reported, in fact, an increased number, because that audit report notes the 800 case backlog. That's as of
a couple of years,
2023.
That's a couple of years back now.
Mm-hmm, that's as of 2023. So this year the backlog is at 1,000.
Okay, so basically it's getting worse than what the auditors are telling us.
Yes, correct. It's just now it's official, right? The auditors went in and they put out the official report beyond what just the Labor Department was telling us.
Okay, and so what's the process right now? Is there fresh legislation that's going to be introduced next year? What's going on?
Yeah, advocates are hoping that the bill's back on the table. You know, as for the specifics, from my understanding, they want to write a bill that passes. You know, the problem has been that it's too costly, you know, because again, the fiscal note for this 2024 bill was $6 million. And not just because they had to hire more investigators, but they had to hire more supervisors. So supervisors to manage these new investigators. So whether it's by tapering off the initial costs, there's no indication as to what the exact bill language will be next year, but they are hoping to pass it because, as you mentioned, you know, the case backlog is growing. And even if the backlog wasn't there, one thing that the Department of Labor wants to continue to do is proactive enforcement, which is where they go beyond just investigating complaints, but they also do inspections, you know, and they already do it, but they want to continue doing it. They want to do inspections of industries where, you know, there's a lot of low-income workers that tend to suffer a lot of these labor violations.
Well, thank you very much, Jose.
Thank you.
Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebong Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor, WSHU's Alicia Daddario, and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.